celebrate the Lord. And all the people said, amen. Hallelujah. We love Jesus. We're continuing this series, His Finished Works. Thanks for being here. Thanks for all you listening in. And we're going to hit the ground running. And we're kind of finishing up this part of the series, but I got another section of this series that starts next week. So you know how this works for me. You need to be here live in living color next week so you can get on the front end of the new ground that we're covering. I'm kind of wrapping up today a couple things that we've covered over the last few weeks. So this is His Finished Works, Part 8. Boy, this is a short series so far. His Finished Works, Part 8. His Finished Works is our rest. He tells us in Scripture that we're to labor into the rest, that what we're to work toward is being at rest. And being at rest is a place of belief. It's a place of peace. It's a place of believing the Lord and trusting in the Lord. And, you know, the enemy wants to give us a fake ID card. And he wants to tell you that you are fearful. He wants to tell you that you are condemned, that you're guilty, that that's the real you. He wants to tell you that you're Mr. and Miss Heartbreak of America, or whatever country you're in today. And he wants to tell you that you're just sickness. That's you. And he wants this to be your identification. And he puts this on you like a burden for you to carry. And we try to walk the Christian life and try to pin and trust on the Lord, but this burden is always weighing us down. And the enemy's always whispering to you, well, no, this is the real you. This is the real you. He's a liar. Amen. And what we're supposed to do is to cast our care upon the Lord. And we're supposed to take, those little thrones aren't up there, but we're supposed to take this and lay this at the feet of Jesus. He said, cast your care upon me, because I care for you. The Bible says that all things have been placed under His feet. Amen. And I want to tell you, if they're placed under His feet, they're placed under our feet, because we're joint heir with Jesus. Yes. We're the bride of Christ. Yes. Okay, we rule and reign with Him. Okay, and this is taking place in the heavenlies. Well, we're still here on earth. But this powerful spiritual principle in the invisible can affect the visible. And this is what we're supposed to practice, casting your care upon the Lord and let Him care for you. And so the enemy tries to say this is you, but Jesus has a different identity for you. He calls you the righteousness of God in Christ. He says that you're complete in Him, that you're loved by the Father and loved by the Son, that you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. This is what Jesus says. And what Jesus says is the real identity. That's the real you. And so here today, you know, we're to tear up, to lay down, to cast down the fake identity that the enemy tries to tell you. That's not the real you. What Jesus says about you, if you've received Christ, the precious blood of Jesus has taken care of your sin once and for all. One sacrifice. Okay? And so what we're supposed to do is to take the identity of Jesus. What we tend to do sometimes as Christians is that we get to the place where we cannot carry the burden anymore. We are weary. We are tired. Why do we wait that long? Amen. And then we come up and lay it down at the feet of Jesus, and we receive some immediate peace. We receive some TLC from the Lord, because He careth for you. And then we... We tend to walk away, and the enemy will whisper to you, hey, you forgot something. And we say, I forgot something. Here we go. And we start carrying it again. Okay, this is a lie. You say, well, I really feel it. I really see it. I really taste it. I really touch it. I want to tell you something. That's the senses. That's the physical realm. That happens in the carnal realm. And the spiritual realm is greater than the carnal realm. And so we need to practice identifying with Christ. We grow up not doing that. Maybe in some churches we're taught not to do that, okay, by lack of information. But I'm to tell you, we're to practice this. This needs to be the way of life. We're calling it the throne room attitude, okay? The rest. When you're seated with heavenly places in Jesus, you're seated, and it's a position of rest. It's not a position of laziness. We're to labor to get to this. This is where the real victory is. Okay, if we're out here laboring and wrestling and fighting, we get weary and we get loaded up with junk that the enemy wants to pile on. It just gets heavier and heavier. But when we come to Jesus and trust in His works and not in ours, we get peace. We get rest. It's the position of rest where we're seated with Him in heavenly places. And when we're at rest, the Lord works His best when we're at rest. Because we're not in the way. It's His battle and not ours. Okay, so you're caught up? You're ready to go now? Okay, so it's very, very important that we recognize that part of what Jesus gave us is the gift of righteousness when we received Christ. I want us to look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. We're going to look at verse 2 also, but here's verse 1. So it goes like this. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle, special messenger of Jesus Christ, to those who have received. Now look, if you've received Christ, this is talking about you too. Okay, so special attention here. To those who have received, obtained an equal privilege of. I love the way the Amplified brings out the emphasis in the language. Those who have received. Have you received?
Yes.
Obtained an equal privilege of like precious faith with ourselves in and through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, what He has given us, and it's only through the righteousness of Christ. He won it for us. He gave us a gift of rightness. Our report card's not in our practice necessarily, but in our position in Christ, the way God sees you through the righteousness of Jesus, He sees you righteous too. It's the gift of righteousness that He's given us. And so it's the gift of rightness. Even though our report card don't look too good this week, maybe, I want to tell you, it hasn't changed in heaven.
Amen.
Okay, it hasn't changed. This was done once and for all for you on the cross. He's not coming back to the earth and die again on the cross for everything you do wrong. It was done once and for all. You got to see that. That's why the Bible says, in Christ, through Christ, by Christ, we in Christ, Christ in us. It's the position. And so really and truly what we have here is that obtained an equal privilege of, that like precious faith. I want to tell you, it's the same for all of us. You got the same gift of righteousness, the same forgiveness that everybody else has gotten that's come to Christ. All right? You say, well, Pastor Don got more of a dose than I. No, no, no. We got the same gift. It's the gift of righteousness. And because we have the gift of righteousness, you see, the enemy wants us to be sin conscious. Because that way he can load us up with guilt.
Yeah.
Oh, I did it again. Oh, the Lord. And then he'll whisper to it. You know, the Lord's so tired of hearing from you on this. The Lord is so disappointed in you. The Lord is just seeing what a failure, what a messed up. No, no, and no, he's a liar. Okay, when Father looks at you, he sees the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
He loves you and sees you in Christ. Now, the gift of righteousness means that, you know what? Hey, he doesn't see us that way. It's important for us to see us the way God sees us.
Yes.
And recognize that, the true ID. Okay, that I have the gift of righteousness. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. And you know what? We're to be more Savior conscious than sin conscious.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to announce this to you because the Bible says that Jesus, through His sacrifice of His blood, He satisfied the wrath of God for you. God's not mad. He's not mad at you. If you received Christ, He's not mad. He's glad at you. Okay? And so it's important for us to be Savior mindset, not sin mindset. We don't walk with sin. We walk with Savior. All right? Now listen. Father is satisfied with the price Jesus paid. There's no wrath of God towards you because Jesus' payment for your sin was more than your sin. And He's satisfied. It had to be done. I'm sorry Jesus had to. I'm so glad He did. Because the holiness of God had to be satisfied, and it was through Christ. And now what comes is not judgment. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Our message of Jesus is one of forgiveness. He paid the forgiveness for your sins. We can be free from the punishment of sin and the power of sin. Woo! That's great news. But since Father is satisfied with the price Jesus paid for our sin, we should be satisfied with the price that Jesus paid for our sin. Because when we're not, when we don't believe that, we try to add to what Jesus did. Just wasn't good enough. I need to do this and this and this to make sure. No, no, no. Bible calls that self-righteousness. Okay, that's one thing that shuts down grace. Is self-righteousness. But when we know and we understand and we practice believing that, you know what, it's not on me, it's on him. Now I have the gift of righteousness because of what he did. It's one sacrifice for sins forever. And so you understand, because we can say sacrifice of our sins forever, the Bible says once and for all, okay, we could also say the sacrifice of our fears forever. Same price. Okay? We could also say the same price for all of our heartbreak forever. All of our suffering. How about our sickness? How about our provision? Yeah. Hey, this is exciting stuff, because he paid the same price for our everlasting life as he did our abundant life. It's under the same package of grace. Amen. I'm telling you, that is so exciting. If we catch hold of this, it will change the way you think. And if it changes the way you think, it'll change the way you live.
Amen. Thank you.
Oh, man. Praise Jesus. This is so good. It's too good. He really is too good. And the gospel is like too good to be true, but it is. And so be satisfied with the sin payment that Jesus paid. And that's why we get to rest. We don't deserve it, but it's a gift. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So we get to rest and receive peace, the witness of his Holy Spirit. And so this is very exciting. Let's look at verse 2. May grace, God's favor, and this is what everything that Jesus provided in this grace, in this package of grace, God's favor, is everything that Jesus provided. Okay, we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings. And this is because of the finished work. It's not something that we earn even now. We don't earn it. Okay, some places will preach, well, your salvation's by grace, but everything else you got to work for. No, it's under the same package, the same way. This is why he said the rest is so important. Because in the position of rest, we practice receiving. It's by the finished works. When Jesus cried on the cross, it is finished. I want to tell you, it's finished. We can't add to anything that he's done. Our part is to practice receiving it. Okay, and this brings him honor and glory. You're going to see this in just a second. Look at this. May grace, God's favor, and peace. Now, I want to tell you, the position of peace is the position of rest. It's the position of believing to receive all that he's provided. And look how this word peace is explained in the original language. It's so expansive. It's so beautiful, all-inclusive. Look at this kind of peace. See, we would describe peace as a momentary relief. I want to tell you, God's description of peace is so much bigger than that. He's a big God, and he has won a lot for us. Look what this word represents. Peace, which is perfect well-being. Now, that's talking about the inside. I want to tell you, well-being. You know, the song comes, it is well. You know, don't you love that? Don't you love to sing that it's well with your soul? Well, I'm telling you, he paid the price for it to be well with your soul. You say, well, Brother Tim, it's not. Well, I get that way too. But when I do, he's provided a way for me to practice the throne room, recognizing the price he paid, and resting, coming to the place of rest and peace and believing and receiving. I'd rather believe and receive instead of doubt and do without.
Amen.
Yes, I would. You would too. Which is perfect well-being. And look at this. All necessary good. Now, I know Pastor James has got the little computer he holds in his hand, and he can look this up. But a number of the versions describe this necessary good as everything pertaining to this life. Isn't that interesting? Everything pertaining to this life. And so get this. He paid the price for everything, well-being in the soul. Everything pertaining to this life. And get this. And all spiritual prosperity. I want to tell you, Jesus paid the price for all the bases to be covered. That's why when we say something like Jesus is the answer, it sounds so simple. But I am telling you, it is absolute truth. And the place to receive is agreeing with what he said, okay, by practicing peace and receiving. But look at this. Well-being in our soul, all necessary good, everything pertaining to this life, all spiritual prosperity. And so you say, that's all the good. But he didn't just bless us with all the good. He relieves us from all the bad. Don't you love that? Because I want to tell you, there's a whole segment. It's a large segment of Christianity that believes, well, we have good from God, but we still have to suffer under the bad. I'm not saying to you that you don't ever get to the place that you don't go through conflict or trial or tribulation. He said that is on. But I want to tell you, there's a complete difference between a believer going through a season of receiving because he's believing the victory coming from victory versus one out here trying to work to get there, okay, and wearing himself out and burnout trying to get there. Are the other segment that we're talking about now are people that are saying, well, that's just the way it is. Because this is the real me, and this is the way it is. No, absolutely not. 1,000 times no. Because he not only paid the price for us to be free from the punishment of sin, but also from the power of sin. Okay? And so, oh man, I got so much to share on this. Let me just look at this. This is all under this one word of description in the original language in peace. Look at this. And freedom from fears. Hey, not just blessing us with all the good, but delivering us from the bad. Now, a person that needs to be delivered is a person that's out of control in an area. Okay? That's a great description of a stronghold, is being out of control in an area. If you're not in control, Holy Spirit's not in control, who is? You see what I'm saying? Okay, look at this. And freedom from fears. That's big. Hey, our generation, that's big, big. Look at this. Agitating passions. Now, I want to tell you, every human wears this stuff right here, this skin, this flesh. And I want to tell you, the flesh has recognized, the Bible describes the passions of the flesh. And it says that if we don't walk in the Spirit, which is what we're trying to talk about, if we don't walk in the Spirit, we will walk in the flesh. And so I don't have to go in great description of what agitating passions are, but I want to tell you, if you're having passions of the flesh that try to tug of war you and rule and reign over you, it's a big agitation if you're wanting to walk in the Spirit. Hey, how about this? You ready? Moral conflicts. Oh, yeah. You know, includes those. Yeah. You know, but see, what I'm saying to you is that I have tried to minister even this summer to people who say, well, that's just the way we are. And we'll just have to put up with this till Jesus comes. No, you don't. He paid a greater price than you recognize on the cross and won greater freedom than you're practicing. Now, does that mean they're not going to heaven? Oh, yeah, they're going to heaven. But I want to tell you, there's a whole lot more of heaven for us to walk in here on earth that they're saying no to. So let's not be a part of that. Let's believe God for more, and all the people said.
Amen.
Okay, are you interested in how to receive this kind of peace? Well, let me tell you what the Lord has in store for you. He says this, may grace, God's favor, and peace be multiplied to you. Woo! Now, I want to tell you, a portion of this is great. God's heart for you is that this is multiplied. Multiplied. I want to tell you what multiplied means. It means more than enough. You know what it means? It means more than you can use. Multiplied to you. Now, anybody interested in seeing how that this grace and peace can be multiplied in your life? Anybody interested? Here it comes. It's by seeing Jesus. When it's talking about that full, personal, precise, and correct knowledge of God, of Jesus our Lord, it's talking about personal revelation of Jesus. That's why we tell you, hey, it's simple, but it's so important that when you're in the Word, you see Jesus in the Word. You see His works around you, and in the Word, you see Jesus in His works. You see Jesus in His presence. When you're having time with the Lord, you're sitting and waiting or you're driving, it's important that you practice the presence of the Lord. That's why we did a series this time last year on practicing His presence. See Jesus. God gave you an imagination room to even help you with this. The Holy Spirit wants to show you Jesus. And so it's talking about personal revelation knowledge of Jesus. The like precious faith is the gift of righteousness that we all have received if you've received Jesus. Have grace and peace be multiplied to you. Notice what it does not say. It does not say that grace and peace be multiplied to you by what you do. Because that's preached a lot. Okay? It's not by what you do. It's not to do more. It's to see Jesus more. All right? Hey, we pray that the eyes of our hearts will be open to see Him. And when you see Jesus, there's a continual change taking place. We're transformed by the renewing of our mind. And I want to tell you, seeing Jesus is a big part of that. It's Jesus revelation knowledge. Grace and peace multiplied is the answer. The way it comes is by seeing Jesus. It's revelation. Hey, be a Christian at rest. Okay, that's important. That's the battle. Come to the place of rest. Come to the place of peace. If you try to receive from God and your heart's disturbed, you can miss. Okay? Hey, Pastor Don had dental work this week. You know, I like using the pastor's examples because they love me, you know? They love me. Hey, man, we're close. I get to use them, you know? I probably used you last week, did I, James? Well, you know, Tony need to get in here, don't he?
Yeah.
Pastor Tony. Okay, Pastor Don this week. So he had dental work this past week. Surgery, dental surgery. And I come in Wednesday night after being with the teens just in time for there to, because I think it was the next morning, Thursday morning. And so, you know, right before they left, they said, oh, well, you know, we didn't pray. Well, let's pray for you. And I'm sitting there at the table just kind of in agreement with him, and I'm listening. But when I'm watching him, I have a little bit of a discernment. But, you know, I thought this is what hit me. What we, the prayer here need is not the tooth. That's the most prayed for tooth in the state of Texas the past week. And is that good? That means you're very loved. And I thought, I've prayed for that tooth a number of times this past week. I think the tooth's covered. I think the dentist is covered. I think procedure's covered. Wait. There needs to be peace in his heart. God's called us to peace. Are we seeing peace here? It's God's promise. God, we need peace. Now I want to tell you something. You say, oh, well, I've had that. It's no big deal. Wait. The first time you had it, you needed peace. The second time you have it, you need peace. And so let me tell you something. It's important for us not to look at each other and judge ourselves by ourselves. Yes. And say, oh, I've been through that. That's no big deal. Whoa, wait, time out here. It's not you going through it tomorrow. It's Pastor Don going through it. But I want to tell you, as I'm sitting there, I'm realizing that's the most prayed to for in the state of Texas this past week. It's not that. You know what it is? It's peace.
Amen.
And so I want to tell you, at that moment, now I haven't interviewed him, but I get to use him as an example because I'm the pastor of the moment here. But at that moment, I don't think he had complete peace. Now, maybe it's from going under. Sometimes there's some unknown about that. You know, hey. But I'm here to tell you something. I'm thinking, while they're praying, I'm thinking, I've got to interject this. Because what I discern is that we need to pray for peace tonight. And I'm thinking, I'm ready. Okay, I'm waiting. Sure enough, one of the sisters moved right on into that. You remember? And prayed for peace to be on him. And I thought, that's home run. That's it. See? Now, he may have not been disturbed about going under or anything else. As a matter of fact, I kind of think, because we know him pretty well, that he was more disturbed about how long he was going to have to wait to get to eat something. Oh, see, we get to know each other pretty well. Real food, yeah. Okay, see, we get to, but anyway, I don't care how big it is or how small it is, I want to tell you, he's promised peace. And so don't you dare think that God just promised peace for the big stuff. No, 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 no. It's important to practice peace in the little stuff. Okay? And so let's be at rest. And let's be in faith toward his finished works. Let's enjoy the faith, the hope, the love, the joy, the peace that are the fruit of his finished works. This is normal Christianity. The negative, subnormal Christianity should not be the norm. And I want to tell you, you have to be prepared because they're the ones that's going to call us weird. They really will. They call us weird. Now, you know, you're just going too far with that, brother. That's just taking it too far. No, no, no. I don't think we've gone far enough. Okay, there's a whole lot more that he paid for that we haven't even scratched the surface on. They're the ones, okay. As a matter of fact, I've even been told, you know what? You don't even believe the gospel. Yeah, hey, you don't even believe the gospel. That bothers me, but I'm learning, you know, just put that at his feet. You see, I get to do that too. The other thing that really gets to me is I had one look at me and say, you know, you don't have a real job. Oh, that was tough on me. Have to put it at the feet of Jesus. And the sooner I do that, the sooner I come to rest, the better off I am. And the easier it is for me to smile and look at someone and say, God bless. It's okay. See, I don't have to defend myself. If the Lord's your defense, hey, if the Lord be for you, thanksgiving and praise is our right response. When the toothpaste gets squeezed, what comes out? Okay? Thanksgiving and praise. Because I want to tell you something. If you're practicing the throne room mentality, do you know what's in the throne room? It's surrounded by praise and thanksgiving. It's worship. And so I want to tell you, you come to the place of rest, the place of peace, the place of practicing the throne room, because Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, and we're at the right hand of Jesus. We're the bride. We get to hang out there because he paid the price for it. And so there's a lot of praise and thanksgiving going on, and that should be our heartbeat. I had a pastor tell me one time, I was preaching a revival for him, and he pulled me aside and he said, you know, I just got to correct you a little bit. And I said, oh, please do, brother, please. Because, you know, when you go to minister to someone, you're under their authority. Very important. I try to communicate to them. I know I'm under your authority. You know, what you say, what you want me to do, don't want me to do, just let me know. But he said, I got to correct you on something. I said, okay. He said, you're too expressive in your worship. Well, that blew my mind. I thought it was going to be something about the sermon or something. He said, you're too expressive in your worship. Now, this was many years ago. I won't tell you what state I was in. But, you know, this was a period of time when the Lord was showing me that when we worship, this would be so good for you. When we worship, we practice the throne room mindset. You see Jesus on the throne. As a matter of fact, one location that we were at, I had a throne put up on the wall. Anybody here remember that? Okay, look, that was important to me. Probably more important to me than anybody. But it's important that when you worship and when you praise, you have a throne room. See Jesus on the throne. It's a place of victory. It's a place of power. It's a place of authority. It's a place of rest.
Amen.
Where we rest from our works, it becomes His battle and not ours.
Amen.
Oh, I want to tell you, that's important. Well, when you have the throne room mindset, and you see the King, your imagination room God gave you, you see the truth that the King is on the throne, that He's a ruler. Bless God in the Lamb forever. And as we celebrate the Lamb, it's hard to celebrate and rejoice in the victory that Jesus is and has won for us and be suppressive. It's right for us to be expressive. This is a very quiet place of worship. In heaven, it ain't quiet. Okay? It's important. I asked him, please help me understand by example. He stumbled around and he couldn't really do it. But I said, well, you know, I hear what you're saying. I don't understand, probably don't agree with it, but I submit to what you're saying. And so I tried my best to be non-expressive in my worship. But let me ask you a question. Is it right to make joy be silent?
Nope.
Okay. Is it okay to express joy at a football game and wrong to express the living joy in us? Well, let me ask you a question. What does resting and receiving His joy and His peace and His love look like? What does it look like? Well, it needs to be you. Because you're the expression of Jesus to the world. Now, I want to tell you, and I don't know if I've shared this in another series, but it hit me one day when I was reading about Stephen in the book of Acts. And they were judging him. The religious authorities were judging him. They were fixing to stone him. It's pretty obvious when they're looking for stones what's fixing to happen to you. But I want to tell you, in the process of that, he has thrown vision. And he sees Jesus on the right hand of the Father. And he sees them standing up. I want to tell you, any other time, there's a description of Jesus in the throne room, he's sitting. This is the one occurrence that I could find of Jesus standing. I want to tell you, this is Tim talk, so you know what that means. I can't prove this. But this is what I see in my heart. And it's not going to change what we're preaching today any at all. But this is how it came to me. The most celebrated and respected I've ever been is when I preached to the Eastern Indians, you know, people from India, the churches that are from India that are here. I'm so respected. And when I preached in the African American churches that are here, I'm so respected. Okay, I've been other places where, well, you don't need to hear about that. But I'm telling you, it's amazing the respect that they have for the position. I'm not saying the person, but I'm talking about the position. It's beautiful. It's a lot of fun. But I remember one time, and this, I used to get quite a few invitations to preach in the African American churches, and I loved it. I wanted to camp out there. And they seemed to like me. But I want to tell you, and I'll never forget, this is early on when I was speaking for Fellowship Christian Athletes. I was in beautiful church, pretty big church, African-American church. And I'm preaching, and as I'm preaching, and I'm giving it everything I got, people begin to stand up. Some men would just stand up like this right here. And other men began to stand up in the meetings, and they were just standing up. And I didn't know what this was. And so as I'm preaching, I looked around here to the pastor, James. I looked around here to the pastor, and I go like this right here. And he said, "Brother, they're giving you a silent amen." Now, I want to tell you, I like that. But as I'm reading about Stephen, he cries out the same way Jesus did. He said, "Lord, Don't hold this sin against them. Forgive them. That's what Jesus did. And he was seeing Jesus. And I think that Jesus stood up out of the respect for his little brother, having a throne room vision and forgiving from his heart the very people that were killing him. Now, boy, I tell you what. Here's the deal. What does throne room life, abundant life, spirit-filled life look like? I'm telling you, when we are seeing revelation knowledge of Jesus in the Word, in His works, practicing His presence, I want to tell you something. What comes out of the toothpaste is the fruit of the Spirit. When we get squeezed, even if we're getting stoned, you know what came out? Forgiveness. Oh, you know, what happens when we're driving? What comes out? I'm telling you. Hey, fruit of the Spirit, what does New Beginnings Fellowship look like? Are we a living house of worship, recognizing Him, honoring Him? Are we a living cemetery? Okay, I'm telling you, visitors should come to this place and listen to the praise and worship, the greeting, and you're so good at this, but greeting one another with love, loving on them, and through the message, and they ought to come away saying, wow, I may not believe everything like they believe, but I want to tell you, those people love Jesus. I want to just read 1 Peter 1 again, and hopefully it's going to mean a lot to you. It goes like this. Simon Peter, a servant, apostle, special messenger of Jesus Christ, to those who have received, here we are. If you've received, say amen.
Amen.
Hey, obtained an equal privilege of, like precious faith with ourselves, in and through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. I had a brother a few months ago that he was telling me, I'm righteous. I just encouraged him, go ahead and finish it. That I'm the righteousness of God in Christ, through Christ Jesus. Because I'm telling you, we can make a mess out of it in a hurry. Amen?
Yeah.
Now, it's an equal privilege. You're just as saved. You're just as forgiven as the Apostle Paul. You're just as saved. You're just as forgiven as Pastor James. Equal portion. Equal opportunity. Equal privilege. And so I'm here to tell you, God doesn't see you as a third-class Christian. Well, I've messed up more than those guys. No, brother, you don't know me. No. The price he paid is greater than what your life, your report card looks like. And I'm here to announce to you, you have the equal privilege, as much privilege as the Apostle Paul, as anyone else in this building, or any godly person you know. You have the equal privilege to walk with God, to receive from God, to experience the rest of God, to practice and operate, cultivate the finished works of Jesus in your life. Remember, guard the garden. That's what Adam was supposed to do. Observe it, cultivate it, guard it. That's what we can do. And all the people said,
amen.
Hey, we love them, don't we? I better move along here. The gift of righteousness. The problem is we forget that we have the gift. That's when we mess up big time. But even when you mess up big time, it's important for you to remember that you have received the gift of rightness. And not to let this thing shovel you or name you or condemn you, but to practice getting back in fellowship with Him, because He paid the price for our fellowship, to receive of Him, to walk with him. It's a gift of righteousness. Hey, you are forgiven. And so, if you're forgiven, then what comes out, and you are practicing remembering that you're forgiven, hey, throne room mindset, it's easy for you to forgive others when you are practicing remember you're forgiving. I don't know if I said that right, but that's what I meant. Those that are loved much, love much. Those that are forgiven much, love much. And it comes out because they forgive others. I'm telling you, your greatest expression of warfare is being at rest. Okay, the position of believing, the position of faith. And enjoying the fullness of His peace, His joy, His love, the fruit of the Spirit. And you do that while you're fulfilling your normal role in this journey. Do you remember that from last week? 2 Peter 1:2. Let's repeat it real quick. May grace, and you know what? He has to say may grace because not everybody's there, but everybody can be there. Okay? Amen? May grace, God's favor, and peace, His rest, pertaining to all things necessary in this life, and godliness, spiritual prosperity, not only the good, but delivers us from the bad, freedom from fears, agitating passions, the fake ID, what the enemy tries to label you with, the moral conflicts, the conflicts that can be ever increasing, multiplied to you, God's peace. Ever increasing grace, ever increasing peace. That sounds good. How does it come? By seeing Jesus. By practicing your normal responsibility, I want to tell you, wherever you go, work, okay, marketplace, home, there you are surrounded. You have an atmosphere around you of throne room, kingdom, grace and peace being multiplied, ever-increasing grace and peace to you. Hey, if you're not there, there's no condemnation here. We can get there. But and it's not through doing anything super special different. It's by practicing what He's already shown you. Okay? I had a colonel tell me one time that for every pair of boots on the front line, it required 13 more behind them. 13 more pair of boots behind them to get him and keep him on the front line. You understand what that means? And so I'm telling you, your normal area of responsibility, you're practicing the peace and the great, receiving the grace and the peace of God. Hey, just like we talked about with the Levites, that's considered warfare for the kingdom of God. Because wherever you are, whether you eat or drink or change diapers or make widgets at work or take phone calls, hey, you are representing and enabling the kingdom of God to be multiplied. It makes a big difference when someone comes into your presence and they're disturbed, doesn't it? Okay. Well, I'm here to tell you that you can practice peace. Okay. You're waging victorious warfare by allowing the Lord to minister in you. Because you need to receive the in you before it becomes out of you. All right, that's very, very important. Okay, we labor into rest, enforcing the finished works inside and outside, and all about you. It's atmosphere. You can have a Jesus atmosphere no matter where you are, inside first and outside. Hey, listen, you say, well, you don't understand my situation. It's a snack for Jesus because it's already been done. He wants to make it real in you. When you meet someone in worry, I want to tell you something. Worry is the opposite of faith. I've had the joy. Ooh, sometimes it's tough. You know, especially when you love people, to look them in the eye and say, brother, sister, that's worry. Jesus said, don't go there. Worry, fear, that's unbelief. Don't go there. Let's go to rest. And what's interesting is not something somebody can do for you. This is something between you and the Master. Right. But the Holy Spirit's there to coach you into it. All right? And to help you with it. He's able to do that and wants to do that. Bitterness is the opposite of love. Stress is the opposite of peace. Okay? Now when you're resting in His peace and His joy and His love, you're pushing back darkness wherever you are or wherever you go. Remember, carnal mindedness is death. Spiritual mindedness is life. Some people show up and just peace is multiplied when they show up because they're walking in peace. You've experienced that? Some people, you don't sense more peace until they leave. Okay. You've experienced that too, apparently. But thank you, Lord. Be determined. Ever-increasing grace and peace are being multiplied to me. This is God's will. It's God's heart. It's God's word. And He paid the price for it in His finished works. Our joy is to rest and receive. Rest and believe. Rest and receive. You get off track, get back on track real quick so you don't mess out. Rest and receive the fullness of the Spirit. Look at this, Psalm 41:11. By this I know. Oh, we need to be able to make that statement. Maybe you can make this statement before you leave today. By this I know that you favor me. Does that sound like grace to you? This is Old Testament. That you favor me and delight in me. Hey, listen. The gift of righteousness causes God the Father to delight in you. Because my enemy does not triumph over me. That's a victorious mindset right there. Hey, New Testament, here it is, New Testament, 2 Corinthians 2:14. But thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumph. I shared this scripture with a brother that was just relating, well, this is our problem and it'll be our problem until we go to heaven. When I shared this scripture with him, I said, how do you explain that mindset when you see this scripture? He said, I don't know. I said, thank you for your honesty. Okay? We're trophies. Do you see that? We are trophies of God's Christ's victory. It is for you. Don't misunderstand me. It is for you. But it's not just about you. It's for others. Look at this. And through us, see, for others, spreads. The victory that He's doing in us is supposed to be outside of us for others. Not just for you. It is for you, but for others. Through us spreads and makes evident. Somebody say living proof that Jesus is real and He sets us free. He saves. He heals. He delivers. He binds up broken hearts. He makes evident, living proof, the fragrance of the knowledge of God everywhere. Now, I want to tell you, there is a scent in the throne room. And I want to tell you what it is. It's the smell of victory. Victory smells good. Victory smells good. It's the smell of victory. And I want to tell you something. When you allow the Lord to minister, hey, you come to that place of rest and you're receiving from the Lord. Hey, sweet smell of victory. And not only for you, but other people smell the victory. And it's a witness. It's a living testimony. You're a trophy of Christ's victory. And it spreads and makes evidence. Just like a fragrance we could light here in the room would come all around the room and people would smell it. I remember when Pastor Zach and Becky were living with us. Little Lily was just five years old. And I come out of the bedroom, and I come in there. She was waiting on me. You know, their mother had them trained. Now, don't go past this point. You wait till Papa T come out here. Don't go into his bedroom. You wait till he come out here. And so, boy, I'd come out of there. They'd be there waiting, you know. And I come out, and I was messing around with him and wrestling a little bit. And I was holding Lily and hugging her, and she said, Papa T. I said, yeah, you smell like Mama E. And I said, that's good. Because, I just been getting some hugging. And I want to tell you, when you hugging on Jesus, come on, and you letting Jesus hug on you, you smell victory. You smell, you have a sweet aroma of the knowledge, revelation of Jesus. It smells like Jesus. Jesus smells like victory. We are a sweet aroma of the knowledge of Christ. And I want to tell you that peace, that victory, that rest to receive what He's doing, the finished works of Christ, I want to tell you, it spreads everywhere and it makes people want Him.
Amen.
The normal Christian life is victorious. Those that are resting in His finished victory, we have battles also, don't we? But I want to tell you, it's normal to be on the victory side even before it becomes visible. All right, now this is very important. And I'm going to end with this. This is very, very important. We practice rest. What this means, even if it's a season of battle, because sometimes we have seasons of battle. No, don't judge people that are in a season of battle.
No.
Don't have the mindset, well, you know, you just ought to need to just receive victory and just get over that. And get over. No. I want to tell you, sometimes there's a season before we receive.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to tell you, we promised that we can receive.
Amen.
And so I'm announcing to everybody it's temporary.
Amen.
I can't tell you how long a season is. But the Bible says it's temporary. But it's very important that you understand this, that when we're practicing the position of rest through Jesus, His promises, we see the finished victory before we even start. Now that meant a lot to me. Let me kind of rephrase it a little bit. It's important for you to go to the throne room and be with Jesus. And practice receiving the rest, okay? And see the victory. See the finished victory before the fight. When you start. And so, battle shows up at your house, you know. Battle can show up in any number of ways. Any kind of way. Battle can show up. When battle shows up, go to the throne room. Stay there. Be there. Hang out there until you receive. See the victory before you go. I want to tell you that makes a difference. I'm just trying to encourage you to see Jesus before you start. It's temporary. You're going to receive it soon. Those not resting and trying to work and wrestle with it, they're majoring on the weariness of the battle, the enemy. And I want to tell you, it comes out of the mouth. You know what it sounds like when we do that? It's negative. And the focus is on us and not on Jesus.
Amen.
Resting saints are majoring on Jesus and His victory. And they're enjoying peace and joy and love in the process even before the visible victory shows up. See Jesus. That's our message today. And we want to see Him now. So why don't you bow your heads, every eye closed, every head bowed. And let's turn your heart toward the Lord. We're going to pray over you. If anyone needs prayer this morning, you can come for prayer. If you've never received Christ, this is an opportunity to get in on the victory that Jesus paid for. You can receive Christ as your Savior. You can know when you leave here how great it is to be forgiven. That's what happens when we receive Christ. And we're going to pray for you right now because people, you may have one of these loads that the enemy's loaded you up with and put your name on it. He may have given you a fake ID. And people ask you, you know, about your life. You identify your life with failure. You identify your life with a struggle or with a sickness or with a broken heart. But I want to tell you something. Jesus, your identity in Jesus is the real you. You don't have to put up with that mess, that mindset. And it starts there. You can come today for prayer and ministry, and you can receive, okay, grace and peace. You don't have to be a spiritually mature giant in the Lord to receive grace and peace. They're for babies. This is for all of us. Jesus has qualified us. Okay, you may be thinking, the enemy may have told you that your sin or your failure or your life has disqualified you. No. Jesus has paid the price and qualified you to receive grace and peace. It's part of what He paid for you to have. You come and receive Jesus. Come and seek the Lord this morning. We're going to pray over you. Great grace and great peace be multiplied to you. And I want to tell you, this makes an enjoyable journey even through the battles. I'm not saying the battles are fun. And I'm not saying they don't come. They do in this life. But I want to tell you, His grace and His peace is more than enough. It's multiplied. It's more than enough. And we can receive from Him. That's His promise. He is our victory. It's not our doing, it's our being. We're praying for you right now. Those that are helping us pray, come up and help us pray. You come up for prayer. Come and seek the Lord. Let's receive from the Lord Jesus this morning. Father, in Jesus' name, by the power of your Holy Spirit, we release the power of your word. We release the power of your works. Be evident, made personal in this room. And Lord, we release great grace upon this meeting. And everyone here, great grace, great peace. Lord, we just confess glory of your presence is mighty in this place for each heart, for each life that turns towards you. Right now, in Jesus' name, we bless them. Thank you, Lord, for your great love for us. Thank you for great provision for us. Thank you for great healing. Thank you for restoration. Thank you that you've come to deliver us, to set us free. And we lean and trust in you. Holy Spirit, come. Make this personal to us, and we receive in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.